Hello, and welcome to the latest podcast from the Institute of Welsh Affairs. We are an independent think tank working to make Wales better with a strong, confident democracy and a successful, clean, green and fair economy. Throughout 2022 and 2023, the newly established Independent Commission on the Constitutional Future for Wales will be holding conversations across the country as part of their work to consider future constitutional options for Wales and the UK, and consider and develop all progressive principle options to strengthen Welsh democracy and deliver improvements for the people of Wales. As Wales's oldest independent think tank, the IWA will be working with the Commission to ensure all voices are heard as part of this process, and putting forward our evidence-based position in which we believe decisions are best made closest to the people affected by those decisions, and by as diverse a range of people as possible. As part of this work, we need to look globally at other systems of governance to learn from those natural experiments and, where appropriate, see how they could work for Wales. At the end of June, we held a panel discussion with the Swiss Ambassador to the United Kingdom, Marcus Leitner, co-chair to the Independent Commission on the Constitutional Future for Wales, Professor Laura McAllister, and governance experts Sir Paul Silk and Glinda Kenneth-Jones. In this podcast, the director of the IWA, Oriel Miller, is in conversation with Ambassador Leitner immediately following the event, discussing the Swiss model of governance and the importance of citizenship.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm Oriel Miller, I'm director of the Institute of Welsh Affairs, and I'm here this evening with Ambassador Marcus Leitner, Swiss ambassador to the UK, so you're very welcome, Ambassador.
Thank you very much.
And Professor Laura McAllister, who is co-chair of the Constitutional Commission, or the Independent Commission on Wales's Constitutional Future. I will one day get the full title.
It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't
correct.
It?
Correct. And also IWA trustee, so welcome, Laura. We are talking around the margins of an event that we've held as the IWA, but it's part of a wider tour that you're doing, Ambassador. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yes, it's we call it the We Are Switzerland tour. We drive around the United Kingdom with our electric taxi that we have at the Swiss Embassy. We have specially branded this for this occasion. The idea is to leave London, to leave the Home Office, and to get out, meet the partners in the areas of science, culture, politics, economics, the business, and especially also the Swiss community that we want to see and get in touch again. And so that's the idea. That's why we have come to Cardiff.
And thank you very much for squeezing us into your busy schedule. One of the reasons then that we're having this conversation, we'll pick up on it in a minute, is around what can we in Wales learn from how Switzerland organises itself and its governance arrangements. But Laura, perhaps you could tell us a little bit first about the Commission and the work that you and your co-chair, Rowan Williams, are doing.
Yes, I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure to meet with Marcus and the team, because obviously we're very interested to learn other countries' experiences of governance and how their setup works for citizens, which I think is the most important principle. But we're right in the middle of our work as a commission at the moment, in the middle of our consultation with the public, our national conversation around what kind of models of governance would work best for the Welsh people. And I think we've tried the best that we can to relate quite tricky constitutional matters to the delivery of good public services. I hope that as many Welsh people as possible will respond to the Dwaid Eich Dwaid Have Your Say consultation, because I want this to be as inclusive and as deliberative as it possibly can, so that we don't just listen to the usual suspects, as they're called. We listen to the ordinary people of Wales who've got very extraordinary views. But it's a big job, you know, because we're looking at everything from the status quo to options for Wales which lie quite radically out with the United Kingdom as a whole. But we're right in the middle of that now, and it's a really exciting process.
And time frame wise, you have an interim report that you're delivering by the end of this year, 2022, and a final report by 2023.
Indeed. So we're obviously having to start planning the interim report at the moment and look at some of the case for change that we'll integrate within that, but also some of the evidence we've heard about what isn't working in the current settlement and what might be changed to actually deliver better for the people of Wales. So it's, although it's you know, it feels like a luxurious process of having 2 years for a commission, but I think we all know that the reality is it's a pretty tight process as well, and we don't have that long, but we need to hear people's voices. This has to be a discussion that really hits at every community in Wales and listens to every community in Wales for it to have credibility and legitimacy.
So you're going out, aren't you, and finding different communities of interest to speak to find out what matters to them?
Yes, very much so. I mean, we're about to launch a new small grant scheme, which will give a very small amount of money, but enough, we hope, for a real go at a deliberative process with groups that may not feel this is for them naturally. Mm. So it's a process of co-production, really, to get organisations like the Earth for Women's Institute, National Union of Students, whoever, to actually encourage their representative membership to engage with this really important process. So I hope that'll work. We've tried to be imaginative, we've tried to be innovative, we've tried to use things which have worked elsewhere and learn from international experience, and that will add the real legitimacy and credibility to the report, I think.
Great, thank you. And there's lots more still to come, and I'm very pleased to be supporting the Commission as a member of the expert panel. I know you have to dash. So
I'm delighted to have you, Auriel.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank you. So picking up on that beautiful segue, you can tell she's a podcast expert, to learning from international examples. Let's talk a little bit, Ambassador, about how Switzerland organises itself and how different it is to how we do things in Wales.
Well, first, we're obviously not, say, in the teaching business. We're not, the idea is not to export a model. Our model has grown over centuries, basically, and more importantly, probably starting from the 19th century. And I think I can pick it up where Laura left it in terms of the consultation process. I think Switzerland has this very strong element of consultation, the consultation of the people. So we have this element of direct democracy. So we engage with the people all the time. People are consulted on an ongoing basis, not just for in terms of votes, but also the consultation for new laws, new regulations. It's a very intricate process in consulting, as Laura was saying, not just the usual suspects, but you have a network of consultations. So Switzerland basically is not a country, it is a consultation machine. This is a permanent process where we ask the people and try to find consensus if possible, or at least large enough solutions to not to leave anybody behind. It works well to a certain extent, but obviously not always, and definitely there are some challenges. It's not the fastest of processes. It's time consuming. Sometimes we have the time and we get good solutions. Sometimes, and we have seen it in the pandemic, we don't have the time, and then the system has its challenges.
So we heard this evening about how votes on these referenda happen on a kind of quarterly basis. So there's a regularity to that, both a rhythm and a regularity to it, on a Sunday as well, and it becomes an occasion, and everybody knows that that's when it happens. So that's a far cry from our first Thursday in May electoral process, but also about the different levels of engagement, citizen engagement as well. Could you talk us through those levels and the differences between them, just very, very briefly, please?
Right. It is this decentralized system that you have the municipalities and you have the cantons and you have the federal system. All of them have their executive power and their legislative power, and obviously goes with this referendum on laws or constitutional changes. And so on these four occasions per year, at the minimum, you would vote on very different aspects of public life. So that can be building a certain road until to how much taxes you are paying, or if Switzerland should join the European Union or the UN. So there are the whole set of public life questions that are put in front of the people, but it starts at a very low level, and we have this build up, this decentralized system from a bottom up approach. The idea is to keep as much as sovereignty as possible with the cantons. Mm-hmm. They are actually then giving or mandating the federal level for certain tasks like foreign policy, like security, army, very well defined areas, and obviously a constant negotiation as well in terms of what should be coordinated on a central level and what should stay decentralized with the cantons or with the municipalities.
So totally different to us. But one of the things we shared, obviously, was, you know, the famous saying that devolution is a process, not an event. And we're bang in the middle of quite a complicated process at the moment. The conversation from this evening, and I'd be interested in your reflections on kind of the questions that you heard from our attendees. You know, the conversations at the moment were very much that the UK as an entity is under threat, due as much to the kind of trust and disrespect, or the distrust and the lack of respect being shown to its various constituent legislatures and governments. But obviously lots of political manoeuvrings as well, particularly, you know, we're speaking in a week when the Scottish government has indicated that it wishes to hold another referendum on Scottish independence in October of 2023. So lots of moving parts in that mix. We're not starting, you know, from a clean sheet of paper, clearly. We're not building incrementally from something either. There are lots of possibilities in that mix, but a clear message from Laura and her co-chair about exploring that spectrum of possibilities from status quo right the way through to independence in terms of what are the pros and cons of each of those options. So we explored some of the issues around federalism, confederalism as well. We heard from Paul Silk in terms of the issues around our different ways of decision making. So whether it's a supermajority, a simple majority, or a two-thirds majority, depending on the occasion that we're taking that decision. And we heard from a fellow of the IWA, Glyndwr Kenneth Jones, on the differences between federal and confederal arrangements and things. What are your reflections on the couple of days that you've spent in Wales and the conversations that you've been having here and the conversations we've had this evening?
Well, it's been fascinating to be exactly at that moment now in Wales, especially as this decision in Scotland was taken or announced, and. Obviously, as you say, you never start from a clean slate in terms of a process like this. But I think it's a fascinating process to try to lay out the different options that are on the table. I think, as I said, it's important not just to ask the people and consult them on this, but to keep them consulted and keep them in the loop to be taken seriously, so that it's not just an exercise. But it's rather, as you say, it's a process to take along the people. And at the end of the day, and that was said in the debate, you want something better. That must be the ambition for any project. Just to change anything is probably not good enough. So to do something better in terms of what does that mean? Obviously, that's the people need to decide. Is it the service delivery that they want to see? Is it a better model that takes care of their everyday issues that they're dealing with, from cost of living to whatever, safety and security. It's fascinating to hear this process now taking speed and the reflection that go in there, the reflection, how do you consult the people? How do you take them along on this journey? I think it's fascinating.
And I think that focus on delivery came through very, very clearly from the conversation today. But I think something else I took away from your engagement and your input was how important the feeling of citizenship and responsibility is to that democratic, to effective democratic engagement. So obviously in Switzerland, the responsibility for decision making is shared between citizens and elected representatives in a way that it isn't here. So votes in referenda are binding on that regular basis that you described, and so pressures on representatives could be lower, so you might get a more diverse set of people stepping forward to take up those roles. But here we heap all the responsibility on representatives, and that means people are being turned off from going into those representative roles. So one of the themes that came through tonight was also about how do we encourage a more diverse set of politicians as well and people in public life. And I talked a little bit about the Equal Power, Equal Voice scheme that the IWA proud to mentor on. But just your that sense of citizenship, I think, and that sense of responsibility of citizens was something that came through very clear. It's a different understanding, a different cultural awareness of that, if you like.
Yeah, as a Swiss citizen, you feel you're responsible for this. This is your government is here to serve you, and you are part of this government, and you're part of running the country. It's also a different role of parliament. Parliament is not so much in Switzerland focusing on decision making. It is more on preparing decision or preparing consensus, a large majority for laws that work for possibly everybody, so that you don't risk to go to a referendum, mm-hmm. and that so mm-hmm. that you don't have solutions that are too divisive, and so the decision in Parliament is not the ultimate decision because it can be challenged through a referendum, and so there is a feeling, obviously, of the Swiss to say we are the government, we are a part of this, and we take the decision that's on the ballot
in front of you now.
Yeah. And you know in 3 months' time you'll have to take other decisions, so you're not voting on whether or not you like government or whether or not tax is too high. You're voting on the street that should be built or not built according to the questions put in front of you.
So I think that's interesting, because the other thing that came through strongly from the discussion was the sense of the multiplicity of people's identities as well in Switzerland. And I think we could learn from that here in a different way as well, and what that means and how that plays out in those sorts of conversations.
Well, that's definitely something we feel very strongly in terms of, yes, you are a citizen, you are at the same time a farmer, you're a father, you're part of the military system in Switzerland because you're serving as a soldier, you are part of a club in your village, and so it is the system of militia is obviously very much entrenched into the Swiss. So we have a militia parliament. Most of our parliamentarians have another occupation, and so this is part of as well to link up with everyday life. So our parliamentarians, our politicians, are very much part of the texture and fiber of Switzerland.
So militia in this country would have a very different connotation, mm. obviously. So it's not a quite exact translation, but that sense as well that you're not going to be a politician for life. It's something you're going to be, you'll do for a while, and then come out of it, and then do something else, and then perhaps go back into it as well.
That could be. I mean, especially obviously in terms of municipalities, smaller municipalities, you always have people who then almost volunteer to do this, and eventually also then end mandates. When you come to federal level, we see some sort of a professionalization, which yeah. is part of the discussion. Is this something we really want? Do we really want to go into this area? And obviously, if you go into executive politics, then it might be that you also end your career as a politician there. But this is definitely not our idea to have professional politicians. It's something that is not what the Swiss would aspire to be. So it's really the idea to work, to engage, to be part of, or to take responsibility for the greater good. So it sounds a little bit cheesy, I know, but it's really to say I want to do something for this community, for many of them. That might, I would not exclude with all politicians that there is not part of ego as well, but it's a lot of drive comes from this notion of citizen, that this is part of my state, my country as such, and not so much of a career that you think for yourself.
And I don't think it's cheesy at all, and I think certainly from the point of view of the IWA, you know, bearing in mind we don't represent a sector, trade or interest, and our key focus are on those two issues of economy and democracy, part of what we do, in fact the main thing that we do is hopefully educate people and put the options in front of people so they can make their own minds up about what's going to make Wales better. Ambassador, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much.
Safe journey in Dochenveriam.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for the discussion. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. For more information on our work, visit our website at iwa.wales. We are an independent think tank and charity funded by our members and independent trusts. If you would like to support our work, please consider joining us as a member or giving a one-off donation. Thank you again for listening.